Shalom Aleichem, Chaver. Welcome to our conference call number 38. Thank you, Rebbe.
You're very welcome. There are 20 questions, so we'll try to proceed expeditiously. Question one. What is the source for wrapping one's hands in a plastic bag or napkin instead of washing before eating bread? Is there any basis for this, and if so, under what circumstances may it be done? Does one make any bracha before eating, and does one bench afterwards? In Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Simen Kuf Samach Gimel Sif Aleph, in Ein Mayim Mitzuyin, if there's no water available, one should wrap his hands in a bag, a cloth. If, however, there is water available, one is required to wash, and one's not permitted to rely upon this system. Mr. Brewer writes, we're afraid that he may touch the bread inadvertently, which is based on the Gemara Masechta Chulin, Daf Kuf Zayin. The same halacha would apply to someone who has water, but he has a bandage or something else on his hands, really on his fingers, from the knuckles on down, which is the main place for Netilas Yadayim. And then he would also take advantage of this system of wrapping one's hands in a plastic bag or napkin, or today we use the word glove. Latex gloves are very good for this. If only one hand has this problem, you should wrap that one hand, wash the other hand, and you make the bracha of Al Netilas Yadayim, plural, even though you're only washing one hand. That's the standard nusach. And some say, in that case, you should try to eat using your good hand, one you washed. And others say, no, you're allowed to use the gloved hand, lechatchila, as well. This is discussed in Piskei Tshuvas, Simen Kuf, Samach Beis, Sif Katan, Tezayin, and footnote 94. In any event, you do make the brachos on the foods, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, and brachos hamazon, in all circumstances. Question number two. What are the proper shiurim for arba kosos and kazayas for matzah nora? How should one measure these measurements? Does one need to actually measure, or can one estimate? So, revius and lefurish shiur for arba kosos is a kibetza or matzah. That's clear, no doubt about that. What is a betza? The average egg today is measured at 50 cc's, cubic centimeters. Approximately 1 2/3 ounces. And therefore, a revius is 75 cc's, which is 2.5 ounces. That's all you need the ikar adin. Most kosos are much bigger than that, but 2.5 ounces suffices, strictly speaking. Kazayis, it's hard to measure kazayisim. The Bali Atosis didn't have olives where they lived. Based on complicated calculations about seemingly contradictory sugyas, they came to a remarkable chumrah, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchos Pesach, Siman Tov, Pei Vav, Sif Aleph. So we should try to be strict and use a shear of a half a kibetza. You and I know that an olive is much less than half of an egg, but that's what Tosis said, that we try the chatchila to follow that sheeta since it's found in the Shulchan Aruch. We're talking about an egg without the shell, so it's not 50 cc's, it's 45 cc's. You take it in half, it's 22.5 cc's. It's hard for us to measure cc's. It's easier to measure weight, which is it's 22.5 cc's, comes to approximately 11.25 grams. It's all the think metric. And one can achieve that with approximately 2/5 of a machine matzah and 1/5 of the average hand matzah, because machine matzah is approximately 15 or 16 to a pound, weighs approximately 1 ounce, and the hand matzah is approximately 8 to a pound, so it weighs 2 ounces. Now, so the shear therefore becomes 2/5 of an ounce, which is about 2/5 of a machine matzah and 1/5 of an average hand matzah. The Shulchan Aruch does say, in Siman Tov Ayin Hei Sif Aleph, that at the beginning of the Seder, a person should have 2 gezeisim. Some apply the same to the Afikoman. The Afikoman, Zecher LePesach, Zecher LeChagiga, and the 2 gezeisim at the beginning, one for the Suras Yontif and one for the Mitzvah Matzah. Some say he knows the Mitzvah Chavilas Chavilas. Aside from that, the Mishnah Berurah quotes in Siman Tov Pei Vav Sif Aleph, the Shir of the Tzlach, that he tried to calculate the measurements of volume, which we've been discussing until now, and compared it to the measurements of linear measurements found in the Gemara of Pesachim. And he came out that it's off by 2 to 1. So he came to a remarkable conclusion, not that people got bigger, but that eggs got smaller, and therefore everything has to be doubled. So if you add all the chumras, you have to quadruple everything we said until now. Well, we don't add all the chumras. I think that l'chatchila, a person should have twice what we've said until now to achieve the chumra of the Shulchan Aruch of having 2 gezeisim, and in doing so also achieve the chumra of the slach shir, who says that the shir have been doubled, and with the Mechavas Chumra, the Shirim of Kzeis have also been doubled. The Mishnah Berurah even Popkins and Simon Tuff Ayin Ace of Cotton Tess to swallow the whole thing in one shot. If you swallow the quadruple Shir in one shot, you're a magician, and if you did, it's probably Shaloka Derech Achila. So that was to require swallowing 4/5 of a hand matzah and 8/5 of a machine matzah in one shot. I don't think that's possible at all. The chumra of Puliyah B'Basach, which is itself hard to understand, should be fulfilled with the smallest possible shear. What's the smallest possible shear? Well, some say it's not a half of a kibetza, but it's a third of a kibetza, which is less than 1/3 of a machine, less than 1/6 of a hand matzah. Some, it's even a tiny bit smaller, it's 3/10 instead of 1/3. Even if that can't be done by Vasachas, just take an olive of today's olives. There are very many kinds of olives today in the market, but the larger ones are no more than 7.5 cc's, which is 1/3 of the shear we gave at the beginning. Therefore, instead of 1/5 of a hand matzah, it's 1/15 of a hand matzah, 2/15 of a machine matzah, and that's all you have to swallow at one shot. The rest you can do later. And if you're sick, someone's really sick, shas of chagadol, you can rely on the smaller shear only. In other words, every kazai should be a mere 1/15 of a hand matzah, because most people use hand matzahs for the Seder. Or, if you're using what we call machine shmura, 2/15. If someone is sick, but not that sick, so it suggests l'chatchila, for the very, very first kazai in the first night, which is the only doraisa involved, for that you should try to use the regular shear of 1/5 of a hand and 2/5 of a machine. Or the other kazeis, you can use the shroom, which are only 1/3 of that, based upon today's real kazeis, as opposed to the idea of a half a kabeitza, which the Shulchan Aruch has. Maror is the rabbana, so you can have the smaller shear, which is 17 cc's. It's hard to get the precise measurement in maror. Now, when it comes to the lettuce, which is the real maror, I believe it's much better to use the stalks for two reasons. One, it's much easier to get a shear than the leaves. Leaves are very hard to combine to a shear. And two, there are no bugs almost on the stalks where some of the leaves of the romaine lettuce have some infestation. Horseradish, on a simple level, is not moro at all, as many of the posts have already noted. Others disagree strongly. It's been written that they just didn't have lettuce in Northern Europe. It was too cold. So they relied on this on the horseradish, which there's really no masorah for it. It's not even bitter. It's really sharp. But minig avoseinu. The minig avoseinu is to have it. Many places, they used to have lettuce for moro and use the horseradish for korech. I think it's preferable to use the lettuce for both moro and korech. And after you finish your kazayis matzah moro for the korech, you throw on the matzah some horseradish, which may have been there even from before. And you have that with some matzah as well. It's primarily that she could turn red and cry, as our fathers and grandfathers did, so that the children should see how the bitter it was in Mitzrayim. Since I don't think it's Mikra Adin, I don't think you have to really worry about a shear for the horseradish. But, if you want to reach the level of the crying and the turning red and goes through your nose, you probably have to have a significant shear, which is more than the smallest kazayas and likely more than the regular kazayas, the Rabbanon, of 17 cc's as well. So it's a little more than a half an ounce or a half a shot glass approximately. Okay, question 3. I daven at a mincha. Oh, by the way, what I said now is found in a mimer which was put out by the yeshiva. It's called Torah to Go. Pesach, I think it was 5 years ago, I think 2011. You probably can get it online. Some of the measurements are explained there in greater detail. Question 3. I daven at a mincha minyan that does not say takonah. Should I say it after my private Shemoneh Esrei or after my Hazaras HaShatz or not say it at all? Additionally, if I daven for the Yom HaShem, I say Tachnun. The meaning is not to say it, but it is not clear why. If you look at the Piskei Tshuvas, in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph, Siv Katan Yud Gimel, I believe, he says the custom was to leave it out for two reasons. One, they often went after the Shkia, and some Sfarim is written not to say Tachnun at night. And some saw the night even from Shkia, not from Seif, which is a matter of dispute. And the Arizal was fearful he wouldn't have enough Kavana, and having no Kavana was worse, for whatever reason, in the Mincha time. And the Mishnah Berurah writes in Siman Kuf Lamed Aleph Siv Katan Yud Zayin that the minig is to fall Tachlin, even in Bein HaShemashes, which I think is the correct minig. Some disagree, and there are those, because they're kind of a low plug, they don't say Tachlin and Mincha ever. I don't think it's a proper minig, but if you are in such a shul, Al Tifresh Min HaTzibur, you certainly shouldn't say Tachlin right then and there, because it's going to be obvious what you're doing. And Pesukei Teshuvos, footnote 82, goes to B'Shalem HaZalman, that you're not required to say it later on privately either. And we can add that Kal V'Chomer, the Shliach Tzibur, who was the Davin for the Yomot, should not be saying Tachlin while he's representing a Tzibur. That does not. Question 4. At a recent Shabbos Suda, the party planner added before Shabbos lit tea lights to the table's flower arrangements for an added decoration, not Shabbos Licht. The lights are now out, the Suda is now over, and they need to clean up and set up the tables into the Shabbos morning Suda. Can you move the flower arrangements? Seems to me as follows. Generally speaking, the party planner or the florist have a kli, a flower pot, a vase, or something or other. And in that, you have the flowers primarily. And that's exactly where the tea lights are found, on the same tray or in the same flower pot or near the same large vase, as the case may be. And that, if that's the situation, which I understand it to be, then it's permissible to move that kli that is the base for all these things, because it's called the basis of the davar ha'aso l'davar ha'mutter. And there we have a rule, if the davar ha'mutter is more important, there's no status of basis l'davar ha'aso. it seems to me quite obvious that the flowers are more important than the tea lights, certainly more expensive, and that's the main decoration, and therefore there's no din of vasos l'davar ha'atzer, and therefore it may be moved. Question 5. Can I discuss using social media such as Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to advertise a shul schedule and program? Is it hypocritical to warn my congregants, especially our teens, regarding using these devices and allow the shul to use them? Absolutely hypocritical. So what should be said? This is my take on this. Ideally, a person should live without Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. I confess I have none of the above. But if one wants to utilize the good things which are associated with these social media, you have to have a shmira. The shmira should be that one of your relatives has your password. It's your husband, your wife, your parents, so that this will be a deterrent to do something which is sinful on Facebook, which is unfortunately too common, knowing that the other individual can and will look on your social media and discover any malfeasance. That's what should be done. So therefore, I do not believe we have the ability to prohibit it completely given how widespread it is. And therefore, since we're not prohibiting it completely, it's okay for the shul to use it for its publicity, if that's going to help the situation. If the shul has it, living on an ideal plane and no one has it for their personal use, then obviously they're not going to have it for your shul's advertising either. The question would be moot. 6. Can someone sleep in a room on Shabbat if the lights in that room were turned off and made it by a teen at risk? Strictly speaking, the answer is yes, because there's no positive hanah. Mr. Brewer writes, in the context of Amir Lenachri, if a guy does something, that if the guy puts the light on, you may not use it. If the guy puts the light off, you may use the darkness, because it's considered to be a negative, not a positive. The Shmir Shabbos elaborates on this concept. So strictly speaking, it's okay. However, from the perspective of chinuch both of the teen at risk and the other family members, it's not so simple. Perhaps it sends a wrong message to the teen at risk, to the siblings. So you have to really analyze each case differently based upon how necessary it is to sleep in that room. How great an impact and what kind of impact would it have on the teen at risk and on the members of the family? Every case has to be analyzed separately. Case 7. Our shul is embarking on building a new basic knesset and is planning a groundbreaking event. Is there any special brachas or tefillahs that should be said on this occasion? There are no special brachas, there are no special tefillahs. However, whenever there's a public gathering, it's appropriate to recite Tehillim based upon the Rav's guidance. You can find psukim which relate to a shul and to building a shul, and those psukim should be said. Question 8. In recent years, hand matzah bakeries offer whole wheat as well as regular flour matzahs. I recently was told that Rav Moshe Feinstein said not to use whole wheat matzahs for the Seder. Can I discuss this issue? I never heard this in the name of Rav Moshe. If anyone who's listening can find an authentic source, I'd like to hear it, because it's important to know what the God of Ador said. So look at Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tuf Nun Dalet Sif Aleph tells us you can fulfill the mitzvah of matzah with whole wheat matzah. You can also fulfill the mitzvah with what's called solus nekiya biyoseh, which is flour which is without any of the whole wheat, quote-unquote, any of the bran on the outside. And the chiddush there is, no matter how much of the bran was removed and how clean, quote-unquote, the flour is, solus nekiya, it's still not a chesaron in lechem oni. The rich would eat the much more fine flour without the husk or the bran or any of that sort. Nonetheless, it's called lechem oni. My understanding is that Rav Moshe, assuming he said what's quoted in his name, felt you should try for Pas Nikia, Solus Nikia, which is, you know, fine flour. And that's better than the additional dimension of Lechem Oni, which the Shulchan Aruch explains there, is found when you're using whole wheat. I'm told in some of the hand matzah bakeries, people think that whole wheat matzah is a hidur. It's better to get whole wheat matzah. Maybe they think it's healthier. Maybe they think it's more of a lechem oni because it has the murusan, the bran in it, and the whole wheat. Don't know. Where I'm coming from, they're both lechatchila. Again, if a Moshe said otherwise, I'd like to find out what the source is. Question number 9. A congregant whose daughter recently married a Syrian boy would like to host them over Pesach. He would like to keep his menagim eating rice and thick matzahs. How do I advise this Ashkenazi family? Can they make rice for him? Can he eat these items at their table? The answer is yes and yes. They can cook rice for him. Make sure it's kosher to Pesach rice. They should designate a utensil, a special pot for kidneys, even though technically speaking, perhaps it's not necessary. But certainly the chatchila chumah d'chametz, they should do it that, in that way. And he may eat that rice and the thick matzahs at their table. And the truth is, even their daughter, his new wife, can eat them. Because once she marries into a Syrian family, she adopts a Syrian minhagim. And as such, she's a member of his household, his community. Now, one could argue, if that's the case, he shouldn't be allowed to follow his minig in his in-laws' house because they're Ashkenazim. That is a potential argument, but nonetheless, in today's world, there's a lot of back and forth. It's hard to identify any particular locale as purely Ashkenazi. Certainly in recent years and decades, there's Sephardic communities in most Orthodox neighborhoods, and we're not going to take one house and say this is a Sephardi and this is Ashkenazi and demand that everyone who walks in follows those menhagim. So therefore, the bottom line is that they can serve him rice and thick matzahs, and he and even their daughter, his wife, may partake. Question number 10. Shabbat Shalom, brothers and shalashudas. Should the chazan kala drink from the Sheva Brachos wine or wait until after Avdolah? There are three menhagim. Some say you drink from both kosos, the kos of Sheva Brachos and Avdolah. Some say you drink from neither kos. Our meaning is to follow what was recommended over here. You only drink from the kos of the Sheva Brachos. The kos of Avdolah, you say, the kos of benching, you say for Avdolah, as you do every week at Shalosh Shudas. And the chazan drinks first, and then the kala drinks from the same cup afterwards. That's the proper minig, but all of the menhagim are also valid. Question 11. If a shiva house only has women and avelos, is there an inyan to set up minyanim in the house? What about a male level who is not shomer shabbos with agrees to set shiva 7 days? Should the tzibur set up minyanim? The word inyan, a lot of inyans in this world. Of course it's an inyan, but it's not an obligation. And if it's a big tircha, or it's difficult, you don't have to do it. Some of it compromised and arranged to have 1 minyan during the whole week of Shiva in such a home. Question number 12. Our shul is trying to monetize the building. The only room that is rentable is the sanctuary. It's a large space that can be used for all sorts of activities. Does utilizing the shul as a multi-purpose room require tanoim? Can we rent it out to be used for classes? Some examples of classes would be dance classes separate and mixed, or even academic classes that may teach kfira. Okay. If the shul has kedushin based on knesses, you cannot do anything in the shul except for Torah and tefillah. Nothing. Even if there is no kedusha, they made some kind of a tanai or whatever they did, nonetheless, you may not use it for a tashmish mevuza, for something which is totally inappropriate, which would include mixed dancing and kfira. So it's the first determinant if it has Kedusha or not. And even if it does, forget it, except for Torah Tefillah. If it doesn't, some neutral activities might be considered permissible under certain circumstances, but nothing of the nature of mixed answers or heresy that the questioner raised. Question number 13. What is the earliest time we can daven Maariv on the Seder nights? Is there any reason not to take the Chagat early on the 7th of Pesach? Strictly speaking, the earliest time for Maariv on the Seder night is Shkia. Again, I'm assuming that the individual daven Mincha after Tzlaka Mincha, then the earliest time to daven Maariv is at Shkia. I would like to comment, not directly part of this question, although it comes up in a little bit later in the question, that there are people who are davening what we call in our language Tarti Desatri, which means they are davening both Mincha and Maariv in the time zone between Plaga Mincha, which is an hour and a quarter before the Shkia, and the Shkia itself. That seems to me to be prohibited. On a simple level, it's what we call the Tarti Desatri. It's an internal contradiction. Many do it for the whole summer. Some have started already. I don't think it's right. Even if it's Tefillah B'Tzibur, I still don't think it's right. What you should do, of course, you want to make an early Shabbos, is someone asked me in my shul, they want to start early Shabbos this week. So I told them in New York, they should call Mincha for a quarter to six. Plaga Mincha is 6:01. So they should try to finish Mincha before Plaga Mincha. And we have a regular minyan, which meets about 7 o'clock, finishes Mincha before Shkia. The Tarti Desatri is difficult. There's a new rage, I'm told, called the Mogen Avraham's Plag, which means if you follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam, the Peshuto, you have a whole different time schedule. Those people should, number one, keep Shabbos for at least 72 minutes. They should also daven Shachris on Shabbos much earlier for the Mogen Avraham Zman Kriyashma. And they don't do it. So it's sort of hypocritical to try to suddenly rely on the Mogen Avraham's plaque when they're not following the Rabbeinu Tam's faith and not following the Mogen Avraham Zman Kriyashma. So I don't think that's really a proper hanog either. If you can't arrange it properly and your shul insists on davening in that zone, my recommendation is so-called Kabbalah Shabbos for 7 o'clock all summer. 7 o'clock Kabbalah Shabbos. Rabbi, what do I do about Mincha? Listen, I'm the rabbi here. You can't have a Tarti Desatri here. You can either daven Mincha at home, be a chidus before the plag, or find a minion somewhere before the plag. You want to daven Tarti Desatri, so you can do it on your own recognizance. But the shul, I don't think, should be sponsoring these minyanim, despite their popularity. I just think it's not correct. Let's go on. So you can daven Maariv, as I said, at Shkia, because until you get home, Maariv takes a while. It takes walking home. It takes a while. Starting the Seder takes a while. It'll be Seisel Kochavim of the Vilna Gaon, the earlier Seis, by the time you make Kiddush. The Mogen Avraham says you should make Kiddush after Seis on Seder night. It'll be that time even if you start Maariv directly at Shkia, and certainly if Yeshua is a minute to say Hallel, which many shuls do, it'll certainly be after even a later taste if you daven Maariv at Shkia. Having said that, in many shuls, my own included, the minute always was, and Yom Tov you daven regular Zman. What's regular Zman? So, with the same way we daven in the wintertime, we daven Mincha just before the Shkia, Kabbalah Shabbos, and then there's a Shir between Kabbalah Shabbos and Maariv, and we daven Maariv 30-35 minutes after the Shkia for two reasons. One, to have Talmud Torah derabim, and two, to say Krishna Bizmana. That's the Ikar Adin, that's Bizmana, Seis Kochavim. That's the, as we see it, you can see stars at that time if you go to the right place where there's no artificial light and there's no clouds and there's no pollution. That's how long it takes to see stars in New York area. The second night of the second Seder, we have the custom that we do every Motzei Shabbos and Yontif. We don't daven Marv till around 45 minutes approximately after Shkia. So there are those who do Malacha at the announced time for Marv. And that's enough, good enough Meikir Adin. There was a Shia of 42 minutes, which is official in the old years. Ideally, you should do it somewhat later. Because number one, there are those who have a later Shia for Tetz Kochavim. From Moshe at 50 minutes, others a little bit longer. And it's also you know, what we call Tosefet Shabbos Yatav. You're supposed to be Ma'achrim Lava, Ma'achrim Lotzeis. No rush. People say, I run out of Shul Matzei Shabbos. I'm not sure, where are they running? The Rabbanan should try to get people to extend the Shabbos a little bit. Okay, Shviya Shal Pesach, and Shmini for that matter, is permissible to daven as early as Plaga Mincha. In other words, Mincha before Plaga Mincha and Marv thereafter. No time to the Sasri. On the eighth day, which this year is a Friday, the Mogan Avraham says it's even better to daven Marv early, because some say that Erev Tav Shilin is based upon Hoel, that since guests may come, and the Sfar of Hoel may not apply at the last minute. So there's a suggestion to daven Mincha and then Marv somewhat earlier on the Friday Shviya Shel Pesach. But in Ashul, again, you have the minig on every Yontif to have Mincha just before Shkia and a Shir for 35 minutes after the Shkia. Again, for the same two reasons. Talmud Torah Derabim, Kriya Shel Bezmano. Strictly speaking, if that can't work for whatever reason, so you can daven Marv as soon as Shkia comes when the sun sets, as you mentioned before with respect to the beginning of Pesach. Question number 14. Our shul scheduled Avdalah for 47 minutes after Shkia. It's usually a few minutes later. My guess is they had the 42 with 5 minutes of Tosefis. That's probably where 47 came from. Prior to becoming Rav of the shul, I kept 72 minutes for Motzei Shabbos. Should I maintain that? I make Avdalah, obviously means in the shul, but the Shamash lights the candle, gives it to the child to hold. Sometimes the Shamash isn't there, or there isn't someone to put out the candle after Avdalah, or somebody wants me to write down a phone number, etc. Or after Shabbos on a cold night, once a month after Kiddush Levana, the congregant offers me a ride home. These are some situations where I'm conscious of saying Shabbos is over for the congregation, and yet not doing Malacha. Is it best to change my minhag to what the shul holds? If yes, should I be Matan Neder? If not, what should I do? It's obviously good to keep Shabbos longer. Number one, Rabbi Natan is a very legitimate cheetah in Halacha, the Mechaber passes away. Number two, what he said before, what Tosef is Shabbos. If one's position as a Rav does not allow him to do so as he did earlier, Shev HaTorah Sadarim, so you should not be nichshel in being caught in a situation where you're unable to maintain the 72 minutes. But it seems to me you should attempt to continue with that minute of Rabbeinu Tam of 72 minutes if possible. Number one, for the two reasons we mentioned earlier, the Rabbeinu Tam is certainly a legitimate cheetah. Number two, it's good to have to serve the Shabbos. And number three, that a person shouldn't feel that when he becomes a Rav in a shul, that how his ruchnius has gone down. That's a very bad feeling. So the person may require Ataras Adarim. So in a pinch, he's not required to keep the 72, but I believe he should try to keep it since that was his practice before becoming a Rav. Question 15. Can one sweep carpet with a broom, not a carpet sweep on Shabbos? The Shemir Shabbos Kulchasa. Perek Chov Gimel Sivov, I read it to you. Mutol letateis hashatiach biyad raka b'metate rach v'lesovas apsolos sholof. He permits using a soft broom to sweep softly on a carpet and to gather the whatever junk is on the carpet and throw it out. Question 16. Can one say Tehillim at night? Does it make a difference if it is a man or a woman? The Bar Hetev and Arachaim Simon Reishlam and Chesiv Kotten Beis quotes of Chaim Vital in Shara Mitzvahs, Sintashis Vaschana. Not, ain't a roi likra mikra, it's not right to read Tanakh at night, because somehow that's a bechina of din, whatever that means. Ain't a roi la'ora hadinim. it's not a good idea to be ma'orer dinim, just to somehow bring up strict justice. This is reminiscent a little bit of slichas. You're not supposed to say your gimel midos at night, and that's what the Kaf HaChaim says in Siman Reish Lamed Zayin of Kotan Test, that after chatzos, it's mutter to say to read the Torah Shebichsav Mikra. The Butchat Sherov in the Eishel Arav in the back of the regular Shulchan Aruch, Siman Reish Lamed Ches says that Tilim is okay. Why is Tilim okay? Well, David HaMelech said he davened that it should be accepted as the Gaon Ve'Olos, so it's like learning Mishnayos. That's a pretty big Kiddush. If you have a minion, it's even more mutter. Let's remember that this entire idea is based on Kabbalah, Chaim Vital is a Mekubal, and we're not required to follow Kabbalah, but Kabbalah by definition is sowed. We're not even required to know about this din. Probably some of the people in the room on the call never heard of this din. And therefore the Poskim HaMekel with Tzorech, and they quote that the Chidah in the Tashmotas of Pesach Enayim, quoted by the Ben Ishchayim Pekudei Siman Zayin, says in Amoritz, does not learn Torah Shabbat Ben, but they learn Torah Shabbat Chsav. Men and women shouldn't really be a difference, unless in some circles, especially Hasidic circles, men follow Kabbalistic requirements and women do not. An example would be Maim Achronim. The Hasidim are very mak because of its Kabbalistic overtones, and the women don't wash Maim Achronim. So that might apply over here as well. Question 17. Someone runs a pre-Purim pop-up business selling popular Purim items cheaper than in the stores, and the product is fresher than if bought in the stores. They receive it directly from the factory. Customers that call ask, what does a specific supermarket sell it for? Is this person allowed to say? If not, are they just allowed to say, I don't know, I know our price is less? Or do they have to tell the customer, I only know our price, even though they know the supermarket price? Do the research yourself. On strict halachic grounds, everything is mutter. If there's some kind of a din Torah, so Dayanam will reach a decision. 18. Mincha following a Shabbat Sherev Brachos lunch is tzidkos chosed. Does it make a difference if the chosn is in the room when they end Chazor HaShat or if he stepped out? If he's in the room, for sure you don't say tzidkos. If he left, it might be you still wouldn't say tzidkos. With the chosn's minion, because it was a Sherev Brachos, Tzidkos follows immediately thereafter, I could argue that it should not be said. Comparable to when people daven at a wedding, the chosn's not there, and the chuppah's over, and the davening mincha, and the minig is we don't say tachzon, because it's a base of mishnah. This is a base of mishnah as well, it's following Sherev Brachos. Question 19. Is there any reason not to make early Shabbos this year, going from Shvi'i Shel Pesach into Achron Friday night? What about into Shvi'i Shel Pesach Chol HaMoed? This was discussed in question number 13. Question 20. I have a copy of the Shtar Mechira for 2014. In it, you refer to an individual inventory sheet. Can you send a copy of the inventory sheet to NCYI so they can send it to the Rabbanim with the 215 Shtar Mechira form? Thank you. If I'm correct, the form was sent last night to the NCYI. I'm happy to discuss it if we have another conference call in 2 weeks, which will be before Pesach. If that is decided to be discussed, I would appreciate if they send out to Makshivim both the Shtar Mechira and the individual inventory sheet so we can discuss it intelligently. Thank you very much.
Rebbe, thank you very much, and Mr. Shum, maybe we can do it again in 2 weeks. I just got an email from one of the Rabbanim that regarding the whole wheat matzah issue, that in the new Reb Moshe Haggadah, quoted from the Chesed LaAvraham on page 11, brings this issue up. So that's the email I received. So
Thank you so much. I'm not sure Chesed LaAvraham is, but we'll have to find out. Thank you.
Zagazel. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.